This is the Financial Compass with Matthew Brunner from Comprehensive Planning Associates. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Matthew provides his clients and prospects with the information that they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Matthew Brunner to help you find your financial direction.
Hello and welcome to the Financial Compass. My name is Matthew Brunner from Comprehensive Planning Associates, LTD, also known as Compass, thus the Financial Compass. Now, if you'd like more information about what you hear during today's show, give us a call, 800-339-9252. While you're at the website, scroll on down to the radio section of the page. You can check out past shows, subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, even Amazon Music. Now, many people think that investing is only something you do during your career when your goal is to pile up enough assets to help you retire and enjoy your preferred lifestyle. But in truth, there is no reason you can't keep investing after you fully kick back, embrace the retirement lifestyle. And think about it, the more you grow your finances, the better off you're likely to be, even in retirement. But before we get into this timely topic, I want to introduce my co-host, Tony Shore, who, when we talk about investing with Tony Shore, we are generally talking about investing in pizza.
Yes.
And records. Pizza and records. I'm sorry, Tony.
I can't believe you're actually standing here in my living room, Eddie.
My albums are my retirement.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, too. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Brunner, also known as Captain Codfish. Captain Codfish is with us. You're the captain of the ship, Matt, the Financial Compass, and Captain Codfish will be our guide. I love being here with you. You know that. You know,
yes, I
get excited. You know, so, I get excited.
Tony may very well be visiting Westbrook, Maine in the near future.
Yes.
And if this is true, he will be visiting a place where some other people who truly enjoy pizza originated, well, their originator came from, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right.
The person who created that is from Westbrook, Maine. So, you know, it might make sense for us to get some pizza
while you're down. Wow. Well, that does make sense. Wow. I cannot believe... I didn't know that. I think you had mentioned that once before, yeah. And I forgot that that's where the creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I dug deep for that one. Did you like it?
Wow, I did. I mean, yeah. Is there any kind of statue or?
There's a lot of turtles.
Are there a lot of turtles there?
You know, there's probably a river and lots of ponds. So yeah,
there's a lot of turtles. Probably where he got the inspiration right there.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell, you know, our massive, massive audience, the thing I am most happy about today. Today, I am celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary with my beautiful wife, Kelly.
Oh,
even more beautiful than the day I married her. And yes, it has just filled my heart with absolute joy. Thank you.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's really nice. You guys have been married 25 years, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yep. And of course, people say, she's put up with you for how long?
Longer than that.
Usually the response is
three full years longer than that.
Wow. That's really great. Yeah. No, you guys are awesome and congratulations. You're going out to do something fun, I hope.
Yes, we're going to. I have a quick meeting after we record today, and then I'm going to skip out of the office, take the rest of the afternoon off. I'm going to go down and we're going to have like a early dinner, late lunch, whatever it is. Well, it's nice, still sunny and warm out on a deck out on the ocean. We're going to go down to, you know,
nice
to the shore and have a nice meal outside.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds
enjoy
great.
The beautiful weather.
That's great. Well, congratulations. Yes.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Very nice. I love that. Well, that said, what are we talking about on the show today? We should probably dig into our topic.
Yes, this investing in retirement. You know, a lot of people think we might, you know, you stop kind of worrying about that at retirement. But as normal, we can talk just from experience here, but there's also some people that write articles and then you see them and you're like, okay, let's talk from experience and use this, you know, appeal to authority that is some sort of, you know, financial journalism. And that's
right.
And they, and the Forbes had an article, here's why you should continue investing after retirement. And it does have a pretty good perspective in it. And so we're going to talk from that and from our own experience here.
Good.
Now, first, here's some of the things. First, retirees should view themselves as long-term investors. Certainly agree with that. And we've said this over and over. Retirement is not a finish line. It's a brand new chapter. It's a journey. And
it's a new beginning.
Yeah. And so, you know, even if you retire right on schedule, you're 65 years old, that journey's far from over. So we talk about some of these statistics. You probably have about 30 years or more of life still ahead of you. So JP Morgan just did a study. And in that study, they found that a healthy non-smoking couple, 46% chance that one of them will live to 95. There's nearly one in five chance you're going to reach 100. We recently did a show about, you know, some people saying, oh, don't plan for that long. Well, if you have a one in five chance you're going to reach 100, you should probably at least have a 20% chance of success of getting there.
It's kind of a no-brainer. Yeah.
So yeah, and that's not longevity, right? That creates a lot of opportunity for folks. But here's where things might get a little muddy, a little you know, messed up a little bit, because paychecks stop when you're going to start drawing from your savings each month. It's easy to slip into that short-term mindset. You know, luckily our employers aren't always in that mentality, or you know, they'd get rid of us probably really quick. Right? So, but it's understandable why you get that way. Monthly expenses, they don't retire when you do.
Yeah.
And so this can cause a lot of retirees to see themselves as short-term investors, even though they're only often tapping a small slice of their portfolio each year. Or, hey, listen, if you started doing this young enough and you were investing properly, saving properly, budgeting properly, you may never need to touch that portfolio. So depending on how you're doing this, it's going to change for different people for different ways, but we want to keep an eye on not always considering ourselves. Very rarely should you consider yourself a purely short-term investor in retirement.
Okay. So what's the move here, Matt?
Well, like I just said, if we take that kind of as a truth that most retirees are still going to be long-term investors, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of, I would say, even success in embracing that perspective. At first, it gives your portfolio room to breathe, right, to weather the downturns, bounce back over time. If you were a purely short-term investor, you would be utterly terrified the last 2 months. It's hard enough to not be nervous about what you're seeing, but imagine if you were just purely short-term. So it helps you stay focused on the long game. Make sure your investments continue to grow. Keep pace with inflation, you know, so your money's working as hard as you did during your career. And speaking of that, you know, retirement's going to mark the end of that career, but it's also the beginning of your legacy. So you're going to want to plan accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And what better way to plan accordingly than to work with somebody like yourself, a financial professional, and you and Gretchen and the team there. This is what you do to help people with this.
Day in and day out, year round, Tony, it's what we do.
For I love it.
Two generations now, this is what we've been doing.
This is great.
Well, the family and the business. So
yeah, you know,
when you're investing for the long haul, time becomes your greatest ally. And, you know, stocks kind of offer the needed returns for that span. Over the span of 30 years, the market's rewarded patience in a big way. Since 1977, U.S. stocks have delivered returns twice as high as ultra-conservative T-bills. You can find that in Portfolio Visualizer. And when you look out to like 15-year rolling periods going all the way back to 1928, story stays the same. Stocks average 9.8% annually, while T-bills lagged far behind at 3.34%. Now, you know, those are the returns. If you back out inflation, you get the more real numbers. But nonetheless, you know, that's what, 6 to almost 0.
Yeah.
When you back out for inflation.
That's
so
huge.
That's not a difference in just in numbers. That's a massive difference in outcomes.
So, yeah, that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, stocks come with more ups and downs, certainly. But during the past year, let's say 50 years, right? So their volatility, that's measured by standard deviation, it was 5 times greater than things like T-bills. But here's the key. If you see yourself as a long-term investor, you don't fear the waves. you learn to ride them.
Yeah. You're surfing the waves of the market, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If the market is creating waves, grab a surfboard, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Or a sailboat.
Sailboat, boogie board.
Yeah.
All sorts of things. There's a lot of fun to be had in the waves. You know,
let's go surfing.
A thoughtfully built, well diversified portfolio, properly allocated, you building partnership with your planner, with your advisor, that can smooth out a lot of that ride.
Yeah.
You know, here, you got to remember, even in those huge wave situations, once you're past the break, you're just bobbing up and down over those waves. Right. You and I'm not saying the ones you get on and ride. There's a dangerous part when you're surfing. Let's stick with that analogy for a second. That's where the break is. Outside of the break, once you paddle past the break, you're just bobbing up and down over every wave and you choose which ones you're going to ride. So, have the proper planning kind of like that. Here's where the break, we want to stay out of this break as much as possible. Now let's take like that classic 60-40 blend, that US stocks, T-bills, for instance. It's shown a standard deviation about 40% lower than an all stock portfolio. So there's less turbulence. You're not in that break zone so much. But you're also not giving up all the journey's rewards. You're still going to catch the wave you want to catch and not get smashed in the break. Bottom line, volatility is part of the price of admission.
Yeah.
But that long-term mindset, the right mix of investments, it's a price that I believe is well worth paying.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to swim pretty hard to get through that break.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you say, it's well worth it because then you're going to reap the rewards. Once you paddle past that break, it gets a lot better. And of course, I like that. Then you catch a wave. And I like to go into the green room. You know what I mean? Yes. I don't know if you're familiar with surf terms.
Yes.
Yes. I lived in Southern Cal for about 6 years.
So. I surfed there for a little while.
Yeah. See, there you go. But how does inflation factor into all of this?
Well, I like, inflation doesn't call ahead, Tony, and let you know it's stopping by.
Yeah.
It either sneaks in an open window when you're not around, or it kicks down the door, smashes the window and comes
one
in,
of the right? two. It can be the silent killer because it can creep up on you over time and eat away over time and you don't even know it's happening. Or like a couple of years ago, you can go from 0 or 1% inflation to 10 in a short period of time. And that really slaps you in the face.
Yeah. It's one of the sneakiest and also dangerous threats to long-term financial security. We've talked about this for years. Over 30 years, even modest inflation can dramatically reduce your purchasing power. So on average, what costs a dollar today is going to cost about $2.40 in 30 years. Now, even so, those small year-over-year increases, those add up and fast and big over time. So you think about those 30-year retirement times, that's a big difference. What cost you a dollar when you retired is going to cost you $2.40, towards the end of your retirement. Have you positioned yourself to be able to, at the very least, match that, right? Sometimes, like you just said, inflation does not move quietly. 2022, boom.
Yeah.
Think about the people who retired in the late 60s and the just relentless inflation in the 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Early 80s. I have to call that out or you're going to clip it and use it against me in the future. It's a tough time to stretch a fixed income because if you think about a fixed income, that's flat. And inflation is ever increasing cost of life. And those two things part ways and they never meet up again.
So how do you then invest your hard-earned savings?
Mine?
Well, no, for our people out there that we're talking about, more of a general question. But okay. So how do you recommend they invest your hard-earned savings? I mean, we're not talking specifics for that. You need to get to know people.
Right.
But.
Okay. So for this, when I'm talking, especially this concept we're talking about, the goal is to have your money grow faster than prices rise, or at the very least, the same.
So right? Outpace inflation
The worst keep up. That means you're not getting ahead. So just above that, you're slowly getting ahead.
But you're not using but you're not losing any. That's, right. That's the key.
Right. So you want to, at the very least, pace inflation. I think it's the only benchmark to really position your earnings against, because you can find, you know, so many different benchmarks to feel better about how the performance in your portfolio looks. And depending on who you use in the financial world or what they're trying to sell you, they'll be like, look, it outperformed this very random index that we chose to make this look good. I always think the best thing to index against is inflation, because that's the real, to me, that's the biggest risk, is loss of purchasing power over time. Mm-hmm. And so in leaning into investments that historically outpace inflation, you know, T-bills, they're stable. They often struggle to keep up. Stocks have shown the strength over time. They deliver long-term growth that can help preserve your lifestyle, not just your capital. You hear all these people arguing about, some people are just horrified. Number one, it gets clicks and it gets views on TV when, you know, the death cellos play because the market went down 1%. Well, you can go down 10% and you shouldn't even really notice, because on average that happens annually. But it makes for great news and gets people tuned in. But then it comes back. Historically, it always has. And does that mean it's going to come back tomorrow or the next month? You don't know when that's going to happen. So you do some planning for this. You know, what is your mix going to look like? How much of those stocks are you going to have? What's your bond allocation looks like? There are things like TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. They could be a smart addition. Again, they're not for everybody. These things are designed specifically to rise with inflation. So they help you maintain real purchasing power even when prices climb. But again, it all depends on what your needs are, your goals are, your wants are, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love this discussion overall. You make some great points there, Matt, but I love this discussion overall because you're talking about how for many retirees, the smart play is to keep investing and view yourself as a long-term investor for at least some of your money, because you still have time on your hands. Most people are probably going to spend 20 plus years, 30, mm-hmm. even more in retirement. So you do still have some time on your side for the most part, depending on your situation and your family's longevity and your own personal health. But you've talked about what to do. It's been a good conversation. What do you have for us next?
Okay, let's think, continuing on that, you know, why you should continue to invest in retirement. They talk about this in the article. I think it's a very interesting question. How much should you invest in stocks before you retire versus after retirement? I think one of the things you have to remember is your investment mix technically shouldn't stand still, because your life doesn't. What it needs to match is what it takes for your plan to succeed. You know, when you're starting out on your journey to retirement, time's on your side.
Yeah.
That's why younger investors, if you have decades and decades, they are generally heavily into stocks. I wouldn't consider myself a young investor, but I still am 100% personally. I'll tell you this. I'm 100% invested in equities. I don't hold any fixed income in my portfolio, because I know, you know, generally, if you look at the numbers, I'm far away from retirement. So
you're a young pup yet.
Yeah. My retirement portfolio is 100% invested to grow as big as it can by the time I retire. If you do it properly over time, you may never need to change that. I may never need to change that. I live a relatively like frugal lifestyle, right? So I'm very cost conscious, and I like to make a lot of things myself. I like to make my food from scratch. I like to build my own things. I like to fix things that are broken. I know I'm anachronistic in this regard. I don't just throw things away when they don't work perfectly, right, and buy a brand new one for 7 times what it should cost, so that'll break again in 3 years. But I like old stuff that works well. And I'm a little old timey. We've talked about this in the past, but if you understand like what those cycles look like, and you understand what your goals are, one of my goals is I don't want to make life super simple and, as you know, just without any sort of roadblock in front of it for my kids to work their way through. But
right. Because
of the way I live, I want to make sure I'm not a burden on them. And if that works and I'm able to pass something on to my kids and my grandkids, all the better.
Yeah. There you go. And I think that's fantastic, Matt. It is really good. So you really need to have a plan in place, though, and it depends on your time horizon. What you're talking about there is your own personal time horizon versus another person's is going to be different. Yes. So your allocation and how much you have in stock right now or invested in the market versus in other safer options, whether it's a MYGA or a fixed index product or buffered index portfolio or a CD, whatever, yeah. Cash value life insurance, it's going to be a different mix for everybody that's going to work best for them and their time horizon and to meet their goals. So people do have the big question is how much should you keep in stocks during retirement? And I'm guessing you're going to tell me it depends, right?
Yes. It's like most hats. The answer isn't there. It's not one size fits all. It's unlike hats, right?
So, right. Right. It reminds me of the old, there was an 80s TV sitcom that didn't last too long, but I loved it, called Square Pegs.
Oh, yes.
And the band, the Waitresses, did the music and appeared in the show. And it was a cool 80s vibe. It was kind of at the height of the Walkman and music had taken off. And, I loved it. They had a lot of great music on the show, but in the song Square Pegs, the theme song by the Waitresses, the one girl says one size does not fit all.
Yes.
Just the way one size does not fit all. I loved that line. Yeah, sorry. Sidetracked. No,
but like in so a little bit after that in 94, Bill Bengen, he's the father of the 4% rule.
Yep.
Right. Found that portfolios holding 50 to 75% in stocks produce the most sustainable withdrawal rates over time with those that 4% rule. Well, and why not go higher? You know, history's shown us what can happen. I believe history is about the only guide we have because we can't predict the future. We can look at what has happened and try to use that, right? History becomes our guide. A retiree sitting in a portfolio that's 100% stocks during like a 1929 style crash could see their nest egg fall 90% in 3 years. But on the flip side, going too conservative, less than 50% in stocks can leave your portfolio vulnerable to things like inflation, things like we saw in the 70s and the early 2020s. Article tells us why the 60-40 portfolio has become a classic. It aims to walk that line between risk and reward. But the right allocation, there is only one right allocation as far as I'm concerned. And you ready for me to drop this knowledge bomb, Tony?
Hit me with the proper
allocation. It's the one that fits your goals, your lifestyle, and your financial peace of mind.
Got it.
Yeah, I know.
So the answer is it depends.
It depends. Yes. you know, retirement's it's not just about numbers. It's about confidence. It's about freedom. It's about waking up each day knowing you're right where you need to be, because that's the freedom. That's the confidence. That's where that comes from. Relieving yourself of that worry.
Yeah. Oh, and that's huge. Is there ever a point, though, at which somebody should just stop investing in stocks altogether?
There could be, but not every retiree needs to invest in stocks. They might want to. So then that answer would be no. Let's say this. And I have people in this position. Social Security and their pension, they cover their lifestyle just fine. So they're not relying on their portfolio for monthly income. They have one, but in this case, you can choose a more conservative approach. You know, you invest maybe primarily, maybe even entirely in fixed income. And chances are, if you worked and if you have a lifestyle that permits your Social Security and your pension, you probably had a good job that you were at for a very long time. And you probably sit and you have that other portfolio that you don't need to draw from. It's probably because you made a lot of the right decisions to get there. So you may not be one of those people that's looking for this like incredibly volatile ride. So that's probably a good place for a lot of those people to be. But for some people, these people, especially preserving wealth may take priority over growing it. But not just because you don't need to take risks, you may be in the best position to embrace it, right? So if you don't need to count on the money that's in that portfolio, if you've positioned it properly over time, maybe you've now transferred it from what was taxable income to non-taxable income. You've made some conversions. You've done the other things ahead of time. You certainly, if you're not required to draw out money for any particular reason, you can now weather the market's ups and downs. You're in a powerful position to capture long-term growth potential that stocks historically offer.
Yeah.
You know, over time, stocks have consistently outpaced bonds, generally by about 2.5 times.
Sure.
I'm talking like the top 500 companies or the top 90 back when it used to be, compared to high quality corporate bonds. Those two things, it's about 2.5 times difference. So that can open up a lot of opportunity, not just for you, but for those you care about the most. You know, we talk about this.
To leave money for a loved one.
Yeah. Legacy planning, enhanced planning. Lawyers call it estate planning. If you don't plan to spend your savings, but instead you want to leave a lasting legacy, a growth focused portfolio can serve your heirs extremely well.
Yeah.
The long term.
You might want to let it ride.
Yeah. That long term performance potential is going to help you pass down significantly more wealth to the next generation. But, you know, because sometimes investing isn't just about you, it's about the future you're building for those you love or those you want to. You know, maybe it's a charity. You might not love the charity, but you love the cause. So it's the difference between fear and love, I guess, is the big difference there. Not to get too hippy dippy on my end.
No, that's really good. I like that. And that's a great point. Now let's wrap up the show. We're out of time, but the key here is it's going to help you. And you really need to work with a financial services professional who is a trusted fiduciary to help you with these things. And so how can our listeners do that?
Well, I suggest you find a team that has a CFP and a fiduciary advisor on your team that will be part of your team. That you generally want them to be able to work with your tax professional, your legal pro, have everybody at the table when necessary. You want to put that team together and you want to have a plan. You want to have a financial plan. You want to have a legacy plan. If you're worried about that next generation, your legacy plan is that logical next step. You have to do your financial plan first to know what you're gonna, if you need a legacy plan. And then if there's going to be something left over, what do you want to do with it? So you want to take the right steps. You want to take them in the right order. We do it from the financial planning point of view. And like how we do that, you do your planning. You figure out what your wants, needs, goals are, what your retirement's going to look like. We put prices to all these things you're going to do. We inflate that over time and we find out how much money you're going to need to do those things. And then what the steps you take from there. You either have enough or you don't, or the plan should work or it shouldn't. You test it out, find out what the probability of success is. And then you start putting the money where it needs to be. You want to know that you're going to have enough guaranteed income to weather bad storms and enough money to grow so that you can match that ever increasing cost of life. And then you back into the portfolios that are going to do those things. When I say back in, it's like, now I know what rate of return I have. I know what to go and find to put that money.
Yeah.
So, it's going to affect your saving strategy, your investing strategy, your budgeting strategy, your spending strategy. All those things are going to be addressed, but you have to put that plan in place first. So find a CFP, find a fiduciary advisor, those people that are going to be on your side. Get that peace of mind knowing you have the life you want now and you're going to have the life you want in the future.
And there you go. If you want
help with that, you give us a call or give someone a call that does it like we do. And I think that just helps increase your chances of success. And you can give us a call, 800-339-9252, or you can visit us online at compass-ltd.com.
Compass-ltd.com is the website. Thank you so much, Matt. Great show. Awesome. Listeners, that does it for today's episode of The Financial Compass with our host, Matt Brunner.
Thank you for listening to The Financial Compass. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound retirement plan. For more information, please contact Matthew Brunner at Comprehensive Planning Associates. Call 800-339-9252 or visit their website at compass-ltd.com. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Insurance products and services, fee-based financial planning, and investment advisory services are offered by Comprehensive Planning Associates, LTD, Compass, a registered investment advisor in the state of Connecticut. Securities are offered
offered by Gretchen Brunner and Matthew Brunner through Gradient Securities LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 866-991-1539. Member FINRA, SIPC. Comprehensive Planning Associates LTD, Compass, and Gradient Securities LLC are not affiliated companies. Gradient Securities LLC and Comprehensive Planning Associates LTD, Compass are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Please refrain from posting reviews of your experience, as this may be considered testimonials and are prohibited by the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. Like should not be considered a positive reflection of the investment advisory services offered by Gradient Securities LLC, GS, and/or their investment advisor representatives.